Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
Usually when I have deep anger, it's pain. So if I can just start to at least acknowledge the pain in the moment, my feelings are hurt. I'm feeling sad right now. I can't talk.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's Michelle, your co-host, and I'm sitting with my co-host, my mom, Barb, and we're thrilled to be chatting with you all again this week about life and its most interesting and complicated topics. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, as always. Every time we sit down at the mic and every time we get prepared for this podcast recording, I am always enthused about the topic that we're going to share with everyone today. And I think it's because I was realizing this as I was taking a shower this morning. I'm always so happy and so passionate about talking about what we're going to share during our podcast recordings. And I think it's because it's everything we share almost always is up for us in the moment.
Yeah.
And this topic for sure has been up for me probably for several weeks at least, or maybe the whole year.
Several years.
Yeah, possibly several years, but maybe the whole year, maybe at least since, you know, second quarter, third quarter, something like that. So I'm very excited to be here with you today, Michelle, and to speak about this particular topic today.
Well, it's funny that you do have such a big smile on your face. Obviously, you guys can't see her, but hopefully soon we will have video to accompany the show, which we're really excited about. But since you can't see her yet, she's smiling ear to ear, which is funny because today's topic is kind of the opposite of what I would think of a smiling person to want to talk about. But that is life with you. You never know how you're going to present when talking about challenging topics.
Well, I think that we are very authentic. We share everything. We share what's happening for us in the moment. And I think why you see a big smile is because what do we talk about every single episode, Michelle? Awareness is key.
Yeah.
And so for me, when
Hopefully you aren't sick of hearing us say that.
No, because it's everything in life and why I'm so excited today and why I'm excited every day, every week when we sit down to record. Because I get giddy and passionate and excited and happy when I become aware of something within me or something in the external world or whatever it is. When I become aware of what's happening with me from the inside out.
That is true.
Sorry. And that's how I feel today. No, that's how I feel today. So yes, we're talking about anger today. So you wouldn't imagine I'd show up at a microphone with a big smile on my face. But I have so many, oh my gosh, so much to share today that it's just become so aware. I've become so aware that have produced such awareness within me.
I think what you said is really profound and is why we do have, why we wanted to do this show in general, but why we are excited about the show, because what you said exactly is we go through life and then we have these aha light bulb moments. Like, wait, this is amazing. I've lived my whole life thinking one thing and now I've realized something and I just have to share it. And in the topic of anger, which is what we're talking about today, you've had a lot of revelations about the feeling and about your relationship with it. And I think about society's relationship with it, and especially for women. I know, going back into our insights of the show, we have women listeners. And it's just a really complicated relationship that I think we all have with anger. And like you said, you've had a lot of recent experiences that have brought this to life or brought it to the forefront for you. And I'm excited to chat about it.
You know, and I think too, Michelle, it's fascinating for me that it's not an accident. Let's put it this way. Let me stop for a second. It's not an accident that when Oprah Winfrey coined the aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Did she?
Yeah, way back in the day when on her show, when she would talk about that aha moment, you'd see quotations around it. You'd see it in print. And it's not an accident.
You taught me something. I had no idea that was an Oprah thing.
Well, that's how I'm attributing it to her, because I just remember it being identified with her a lot way back in the day when she was when she had her show. And she says it often now as well. And to me, it's not an accident whenever I get that feeling that I've, like you just said, Michelle, that I've uncovered something inside of me that leads me to understand what's happening for me. Because I say this on the show a lot too, and I do this constantly in my everyday life. If I'm feeling upset, or if I'm feeling joyful, or if I'm feeling anything, when I have a strong feeling happening inside of me, I stop, take a pause, and I ask myself, Barb, what is happening in this moment for you? Mm-hmm. What is going on?
Well, and interesting for you, you've said often in our lives, but I think on the show too, I'm pretty sure, when it comes to feelings and emotions, we talk about how important it is to feel them when they come up and not push them down or push them away, because if we do, after time, the feelings tend to come out sideways in greater ways or in unrelated ways. And when it comes to anger, I think you'll agree to this. It's possible that for you, you've pushed it down a lot. And I think your anger has come out sideways. And this isn't a dig at you. But even as someone who is so aware of their emotions as you are and knows the power of feeling your feelings when they come up and all of the stuff that we've talked about, it maybe seems like anger has maybe been the exception to the rule. And we're going to get into why we think that that is. But I've noticed, and we've talked about, that sometimes the anger that has been pushed down or not fully felt from probably your whole life has come out sideways. And sometimes it comes out in frustration or impatience or anything. And what's also been interesting in talking to you about this is like, it'll come out in unexpected ways. And it's not necessarily related to what you're actually angry about, if that makes sense. So I'm really excited to talk about it because it has been so enlightening for you and for me and for our relationship, especially since we work together. We're together a lot. And sometimes we see each other's good times and also not as good times. And having this awareness has been really helpful for us as well.
For sure, Michelle. And certainly we do spend a lot of time together. So sometimes anger can come out sideways with each other. And this past few weeks or this past few months has been a real deep dive into anger. And I'd like to start with saying, first of all, that anger is normal. We cannot get rid of it. We cannot stop being angry ever. Like, we can't say, I'm not ever going to get angry again at this particular thing, or I'm never going to get angry again, or, oh, why am I so angry? How can I stop this? What can I do about it? That anger is normal. It is one of the emotions, all along with joy and happiness and irritation and sadness and grief and all of the things. Anger is normal. And I think if I trace it back, I've always been under the assumption for myself. And that's why these past, I don't know, I would say probably 5 months, 6 months, maybe even 4 months, have been so profound for me, is I have always felt that I was afraid to express my anger fully, that I wasn't sure how it would come out or what would happen, even taking the pause, even taking the time and all that. I never felt like I could comfortably always just truly be free to express my anger, and certainly not in a way that harms. I'm just talking about even speaking it, even acknowledging it, even naming it sometimes. I would name it maybe as frustration, or I'd name it as irritability, when deep down at the root of it was anger. And I think that's why I love so much, and I use it quite a bit in our work, Eckhart Tolle's quote, where there is anger, there's always pain underneath. And I've been looking at this a lot in the past 4 or 5 months, and I see deeply a lot of pain underneath. And where this has been leading me in this journey the past few months has been that I'm not afraid to express my anger. I know how to express my anger. I know how to, I don't think anything bad is going to happen because that's not me. And that's not my practice. And that's not how I function. And that's not how I am. But what I realized as a little girl, so you all probably have told my story quite a bit on the show. I was raised Catholic, and I always wanted to be this good little Catholic girl. So imagine I was born in 56, 1956. So in the late 50s and the 60s, in those generations, especially if you were Catholic and no diss to Catholicism, I mean, I think all of us back in that generation were raised, good little girls stay quiet. Good little girls don't get angry. Good little girls don't get disruptive. Good little girls don't do things that are not okay for little girls to do, that are not appropriate, or that are bad manners.
Or even that bring attention.
Or that bring attention, absolutely, that bring
seen
attention.
Not heard.
Seen, not heard. All of that, not only in my schooling life, but also in my home life. I was meant to be seen, not heard. Little girls never get angry and never throw a fit or never do anything destructive. You just suck it up. I mean, it's just not okay for a girl to do that. And I remember that in school, when I was in third grade and my sister was in first grade. And I remember my third grade teacher saying, "Barbara, we are so proud of you. We absolutely love you. You are so kind. You're so considerate. You're so quiet. You don't get into any trouble. You don't do anything wrong. I wish all the little girls could be like you. And in particular, I wish your sister could be like you," because my sister was rowdy. Mm-hmm. My sister was always getting into trouble. It was a Catholic school, so the nuns were always hitting her on the hands with the ruler, and she was always in...
Yikes.
Yeah, no, she was always in detention after school because she was rowdy. She spoke up, and she was aggressive a lot in school. And I remember when the nun said that to me, "We wish your sister could be more like you." I was always craving attention. The oldest of 5 kids, 2 alcoholic parents. Mm-hmm. It was a very traumatic time in my childhood, which I have discussed as well. Maybe we'll go into more detail about that at another time. But I remember being so happy.
Yeah.
And it just reinforced for me this idea, Barb, whatever you're feeling, especially if it's irritation or especially if it's anger, do not talk about it. Do not process it. Do not tell anyone that you're feeling angry in this moment.
Well, and you got praise for never being too much or being anything.
Yes. And so
and
even
attention.
And what I think where that goes, well, there's so many reasons why that goes haywire in a young girl's life. But one of the main things as I've been reflecting on this is my parents were always fighting. The anger in our household was if 10 is the worst, a 30. My parents were always fighting, alcoholics. I mean, they were always fighting. The anger was not anger. It was more rage all the time and physical. So it really, I can imagine now, okay, so good little girls don't get angry, but my mother is angry all the time. And so in trying to process that, I grew up feeling like don't ever, you look at when the rage was not great because it caused harm, and a good little girl doesn't express her feelings. So I literally did not really ever understand how to actually speak when I was angry in a way that was productive.
Well,
and
did
helpful.
You ever actually know that you were angry?
I don't think so, because I was really felt like I wasn't even allowed to admit it. So it really truly got pushed down a lot.
Or not even to admit it, but to even feel it. Or, like, were you ever allowed the privilege of feeling angry. Like, well, if something happened to you that would evoke anger, were you allowed to have it? Or, no, or push it, sorry, or push it down and just say, oh, no, no, it's okay.
No.
I think that's probably where a lot of us, where the people pleasing stems from, because something happens and, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. I'm fine. Everything's okay. I'm going to make it okay. I don't feel anything.
Oh, for sure. But what I know to be true in all of the work that I've done for the past 40 years and the work that you and I do is emotions have to be felt.
Yeah.
And they go somewhere. So certainly a lot of my anger emotions went sideways, but not necessarily to other people. Mm-hmm. They went sideways in me. And now as a 68-year-old, almost 68-year-old woman, my health has taken a toll on some of the anger that I've kept inside of me, or some of the anger that I didn't express in a way that I needed to. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the show. But it's very interesting. So that really in my work and in my all of my studies, as I've talked about, you know, meditation and mindfulness studies and studying all the great religions and traditions and practices of the world, I came across Gandhi and the Hinduism, in the Hindu faith. And I was reading one of his books, and it was such a profound thing that hit me that he was the most, he considered himself one of the angriest people in the world. And so to think that he was just a peaceful person, he would go on to say, was not accurate. His actions may have shown peace, but in his mind, he was every day transforming the anger that he had to the British and all the things, the way his people were being treated in India and all of that stuff. And it actually started in South Africa. But he was transforming his anger into compassion. And so he felt that the work that he was doing was fueled by the anger that he felt that was happening against his people. And he goes on to say later in his life that he took a lot of that anger out on Kasturbai, which was his wife and his family. And he goes on to say that I owe a great deal of gratitude to my wife and my family, because they certainly, I'm paraphrasing, but they certainly took the brunt of all of this work that I've been doing to free South Africa, free India. So it's really fascinating. And when I remember reading that, thinking, oh, so all this frustration or whatever I'm feeling, anger, I can't really name it. I can't really admit it because I'm not allowed to, or I don't even know what to do with it. If I did admit it, I can just turn all that anger into compassion, which, yes, that sounds great on the surface, but then that's another way of spiritual bypassing a little bit. And I can see how that's happened in my life as well.
Yeah, that's
in the early days, for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic of, yeah, bypassing, I think, is the right word to say, because, oh, I can't feel anger, and so I'm going to use it for good. I'm going to take my, and that, obviously there is good in that, but still, I think the ultimate antidote to anger and to not letting it build up is to actually feel it.
Well, and what I'm feeling today is so differently than what I felt back then. I was a young person back then. I was 28 years old when I started my mindfulness meditation path that I'm on today. And now I'm going to be 68 this year, and I'm thinking, whoa, having some things happening with my body. You know, I was diagnosed with a hiatal hernia, you know, a few months ago. And having some issues just in general with the mobility of my body. And then my hamstring, my right hamstring kind of went out, and I took a fall recently and broke my kneecap.
Wild.
None of this has ever happened to me. I've never been in the hospital. I've never had an illness.
And it's been back to back to back.
I've never had anything. And so I've really been taking a pause and thinking, okay, Barbara, what is happening here for you in the moment? What is going on? And just things personally have brought up a lot of anger. Things professionally have brought up a lot of anger and frustration inside of me. You notice that whenever I say angry, I almost always couple it with frustration. But it's really been anger. It's not really frustration. It's anger. And so, yeah, so I'm really taking a deep dive, and I'm hoping that this conversation today can be helpful for all of you listening. If you're at all resonating with what I'm saying, that I love that book, The Body Knows the Score.
And the body keeps the score.
Or the body keeps the score. And then as you read it, you realize that the body truly does know the score. I love that book so much in regards to the fact that you can be doing and saying all the things on the outside world, and you can be doing everything that you think that you can be doing with your body and your mind and eating all the right things and doing all the right things. But if you're not taking care of your emotions and you're not processing them in a way, and you're allowing other people's feelings and other people's emotions to affect you, and you're not dealing with life as it meets you, you're not meeting life where it is every single moment, it can start to take a toll on the body. And you and I, Michelle, we had a session recently with a somatic healer, and mm-hmm. we'll put her book and some of the things in the show notes. But one of the most profound things she said to me, and mm-hmm. I still can't stop thinking about it, is she said, "I never let stress enter my body." And now I had to take a pause and say, what in the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
She said, "I never let stress enter my body. I never let the stresses of the outside world, I never let other people's behaviors and stresses and ill will, I never let it enter my body. I deal with it in the moment of the feelings of it, and I respond in the moment, and I never hold it as my own. And I never hold what's happening in the outside world. I never hold what other people's drama and traumas are. I never take it in my body. I never take it in as mine." And I'm still processing that, because I'm still trying to understand that. Like, how do I don't. So there's that line we always say, don't take things personally, because yeah. what other people say and do is not about you. It's about their perceptions. And I get all of that. But I think there's a sneaky little way that I've allowed it to penetrate my body.
Yeah,
I kind of hold on to it a little bit and figure, because you know what I do? This is, oh my gosh, I just love this show
aha
so much.
Aha moment.
Yes, you know what I do? I blame myself. Mm. I blame myself. Why did I let that happen? How did that happen to me? What, Barb, you're not smart enough to realize not to let that happen? And so I blame myself if I'm feeling anger toward a situation that's happening in the external world, even if it's the other person's doing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the way I process it, especially if it's something major, is I blame myself.
Well, it's interesting what this healer was saying in that regard of not taking the stress in and not taking on other people's actions and things as our own, is that if something happens that's to her that's not right or that elicits an angry emotion from her, she was talking about how she'll speak back to it in that moment.
We're talking about Catalina is her name.
Yes,
sorry.
Catalina. Yeah. We'll put her information in the show notes.
Catalina was saying this to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll speak back to it or set a boundary in that moment. So if someone says something to her that's disrespectful, she'll say, "Don't disrespect me like that," or "You don't have the right to talk to me that way," or setting a boundary or whatever. And that got me to thinking and us to talking about, we never do that, rarely do that. It's always something happens and maybe someone says something unkind or disrespectful, and then we go on with our day and then let it come out, like either in talking to each other or within ourselves or other people. Like, I can't believe this person said it to me, blah, blah, blah. And then it never really gets fully resolved. And how we never really let ourselves actually stand up for ourselves in that moment if something happens, which is another version of like pushing the feelings down. Because all of that kind of started from the topic of conversation. Can I tell the story of the class?
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing, because you're so right. It's amazing how she does it in the moment.
Yeah.
And we take it in. I'm thinking about myself. Okay, I took in whatever happened. And I reflect on it and do my whole practice and do my whole process of it and then sort out how do I need to respond? But in the meantime of doing all that, sometimes it's weeks, sometimes it's months,
yeah.
sometimes it's days, whatever it is. But in the meantime of doing all that, it's living in my body. I think that was the profound thing that she said. It never enters her body. And I try to think about, what is she talking about? And what she's talking about is, she deals with it in the moment. It doesn't have a chance to come into her body, so she doesn't need to reflect on it.
She
deals with it, as you said, Michelle, in that moment. So I just wanted to clarify that yes, eventually I get it resolved, let's say, but I reflect and I do all the things, but rarely, as you said, Michelle, rarely do I, if someone has disrespected me or done something that's not appropriate or harmed me in some way. Rarely do I respond in the moment. And even if I took a pause, I take a long pause. And so I'm really reflecting now on, you know, understanding what my boundaries are. What are my non-negotiables? What are my values? And really starting to really sort out and name and have that in my back pocket, that these are my non-negotiables. If I'm being disrespected or in professionally or personally, This is going to be my response. I don't need to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't need to hold on to it in my body for a week or 10 days or a month.
Yeah. It's interesting because I can remember so many times as a kid, you know, if someone was being mean to you, ignore them. That's what I was kind of taught, I don't know by who, school or something. You know, if you're being bullied, just ignore them, be silent. If there's conflict, just walk away from it. And, you know, maybe there's value in that in some instances, but I know for myself, I'm very avoidant when it comes to conflict and confrontation. I talked to this healer, Catalina, about this as well. I avoid conflict in every aspect. And even if there's something that's happening in the moment where there's a disagreement, I kind of disassociate and shut down to where I'm just, all right, I just have to get through it and then I'll process it later. But what happens with that is sometimes I don't get to say the things that need to be said in that moment, or maybe stand up for myself or clarify things or bring my truth to the situation because I just disassociated and got through it. And I think that's an interesting aspect of anger for maybe many of us, where we just let it happen. We let the difficult situation happen. And I think so much too, like I hear so many times and we see it in movies, like, oh, I can never say the thing I want to say in the moment. I always know what I would want to say later on. And it's such a common dynamic where we feel like our voices aren't heard or we're not able to say what we want to say in the moment because of a lot of reasons. But I've noticed for myself, it's that avoidant and disassociative tendencies of just getting through the conflict, and I'll deal with myself later.
And I think I love this conversation so much because I think what that means, it doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, we have to have the full on conversation when something happens, when someone's crossed our boundary or when someone has threatened us or when someone has harmed us or when someone has done something that causes us pain. What it does mean though for me is, and what she meant by that, not letting it live in her body, was to at least say that we've been harmed or to at least say that we're feeling the pain. I can think of so many examples where, especially even in this year, but even in my ex-husband and in my marriage, oh my goodness, I think we just kind of suck it up or it comes out sideways because then we really get angry and we're screaming or we're saying things that we don't even mean. So I still like to take the pause. But if someone does something that's harmed me or that has said something disrespectful, like I had a person in my Pilates class, and I think this is what started this.
Yeah.
This is what started this whole tumultuous thing the past couple of weeks.
I am all about finding new tips, tools, practices, data to help me live my healthiest life, which is why I'm so excited to have found Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep, and so much more. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. It can also track your cycle, as well as the onset of menopause, and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/barbknowsbest to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/barbknowsbest for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I showed up for a Pilates class.
You're in a new situation.
I'm in a new situation. I'm in a new class, a new town, a new everything. And I walked into a Pilates class and I have my socks on and I'm halfway through the class. And she walks up and she says, you know, you're not allowed to wear those socks in here. And we're in the middle of a rotation or what, you know, as of a movement in Pilates. Mm-hmm. I've been taking Pilates for, you know, 15 years. We're in the middle of a movement in Pilates and she stops at my place, and she says, you're not allowed to wear those socks in here. Please don't wear them again. We won't allow you in next time. And I'm like, what? I mean, I didn't have grippy socks on. I didn't even think about it because I was brand new. I just threw some socks on and went.
And no one said anything to you as you were going in.
No. And I'd been there. I mean, I'd been in Pilates before and not had the right socks, and I've realized it. But it just was so jarring.
And it was in front of the whole class and embarrassing and
all of it. It made no sense to stop in the middle of class. She could have waited. So I was sharing this with Catalina, our somatic healer. We went for a somatic healing session. And she said, all you needed to say to her was, could you have waited until after the class? You know, or anything, just say anything in a very kind way. You know, the anger starts getting frustrating and the pain starts getting deep when we don't speak or when we don't say something in the kind way. She said, you could have just said, you know, could you wait it until after class? And I think that that's the thing I'm really sorting out. And so we're never saying there's only one way to do something. Certainly when there are major things, even in big relationships or even big things that have happened, but still just to have the courage to be able to say in the moment, that hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. I'll get back to you. Let me feel what I'm feeling and I'll get back to you. But at least to just say that, because I think of myself lately, especially, I like come out of the woodwork 6 weeks later and say, you know, what you said and did really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it. And that person usually has moved on or they could care less. And so I'm really understanding this idea of how storing anger in the body and taking on other people's behaviors toward us, if we take it on in the body, is harmful. There are so many ways that it affects the body, the heart, you know, the gut, the mind, all the things in the mind, other relationships, our work. And then if it's something that's happening at work, it adversely affects our family and our friends. And so it all plays a role. And it's so fascinating to me to understand this, that
it was quite often that the dynamic in our family was very dysfunctional and chaotic and uncertain, especially with your ex-husband. And I remember you said to me once when I was struggling with something that he had done or said, or a difficult situation, or just him being difficult. And we were, you and I both were like very stressed about it. And you said, just suck it up. Right. Is that what you said? Or just don't let it bother you. Just keep going because he's not worth it.
Well, I remember saying, feel your feelings. You have, your feelings are valid, that you're angry, you're upset or whatever, but also saying there's not, he's who he is. He's not going to change. Something, some version of that. But whatever you internalized is true. Whatever you felt in the moment is true.
I remember the dynamic for both of us was like, we just kind of had to take however he acted and deal with it because we couldn't change him and it didn't matter. Like, it wasn't going to make a difference anyway. So just figure out how we could make it okay for us in the moment. And that became a really toxic dynamic for us because he could just do whatever he wanted and act however we wanted. And we took it. And I'm trying to remember where I was going with that. But I think that was where that seed was planted for me of, no, I don't have to take it if someone is being difficult. I can say, you don't have to act like that, or you don't have to speak to us that way, or you don't have to do that in this moment. Not saying that that was going to change anything, but that simple act of just speaking up to the situation rather than just internalizing it, taking it on, making it our problem. And it was never his problem that he was acting that way or making things complicated or creating difficulty for no reason. It was never his problem. It was always our problem. And I think that simple act of just being able to speak back to it, to put it back on the person, there, put the actions and the dysfunction back on the person that's actually doing it instead of taking it on, is such a huge shift. And it's taken me, I guess, until now to really realize that in any situation, you know, we had a work situation a few years ago where someone was just not, they were listening, but not listening and saying the things that we wanted them to say, but then not doing it. And I just kept taking it. And if I had said to them, that's not what happened, that's not what you said, maybe, you know, it would have felt different for me. I wouldn't have maybe felt so angry down the road because I internalized this person's actions and didn't put it back on them. Like, we don't need to be responsible for other people's actions and words when they're having bad behavior. That's not our responsibility. And so often I think, as people pleasers, as empaths, as emotional people, we take it on because we think, oh, I can make it okay. I can take this on and be the bridge or the fixer and make it okay and everything will be okay. And that's not our job. And that really does build up that frustration and anger, I think, that we're talking about, to where it will come out sideways. And like you said, with your health and with your mental health and everything that goes along with it. It's really interesting. I feel like I'm just kind of processing right now, thinking back to how many situations in my life where I've allowed people to act badly towards me, not saying anything in return, taking it and moving on. It's really, really wild. And I think going back to your story, Mom, as a child and having that seed planted where you can't feel angry, women can't feel angry, it's not ladylike, whatever it was, we got to rip that seed out and remember that we can.
And I think, really, really beautifully said, and I think what I want to share here with all of what you said is, That's why I'm so happy today. So everything that we are talking about, if you're resonating with any of it or all of it, is a process. And that's why I'm happy today. It's taken a lot of years to get to where we are today. And that's the beauty of life. So none of this happens overnight. Awareness is key. Once you start to become aware, you can start to see little places where I can stick my toe into the water and say, hey, that hurt my feelings. You can start to little by little by little. And one of my most favorite quotes, and that's why we love quotes so much, because they really go, especially if it's one that touches your heart deeply, it can change your life. It has the power to transform you. And one of those quotes was George Eliot. It's never too late to be what you might have been. I'm going to cry right now, actually. When I first read that quote, I always thought it was too late. Why has it taken me so long? Why am I 40 years old now and I'm still putting up with this? Why am I 50 years old now and I'm still putting up with this? When I'm 67 years old, got divorced last year, I'm not putting up with it any longer. And so that's not maybe true for all of you listening. Maybe there's ways that it can be fixed or whatever, but at least you don't feel like you are succumbing to something. You don't feel like you're succumbing to a lie that, oh, it'll get better. Oh, they'll change. Oh, this isn't going to last forever. Because in some instances, people don't change unless they want to change. You can't force anyone to change. So it makes sense that we would stand up and be exactly who we are in the most kind, loving way possible, but expressing our emotions, including anger, and see how it goes. See how the life unfolds. And that's exactly what happened for me. I finally woke up one day and said, enough is enough. And watched it unfold and decided that I was no longer going to participate in the insanity of thinking that it would ever get better after 33 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important to understand that it's a process, and don't be hard on yourself and just say, there's nothing that you can do that's worse. I don't even know if I'm saying that properly, but I'm feeling it so strongly, than to beat yourself up. Than to start getting down on yourself. That is the worst thing that you can do, not only for your mental health, but also for your physical health. When you start blaming yourself or start saying, you know, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I this? Why didn't I that? It's so important to understand that life is a process and that life unfolds in every way that it needs to unfold. And I truly believe that we get all of the people and the circumstances and the experiences coming into our lives to help us see where I need to adjust here. What do I need to do here? Where do I need to speak up here? How do I need to act? And I'm really working on never looking back in this way and saying, oh my gosh, Barb, how did you not learn this already? How are you going through this same thing? And for me in the past year, I've gone through several same things I've felt. And now as I'm reflecting, I'm thinking they're not exactly the same, but they brought me to this place where I finally figured out what it is that I need to do. And it's almost like it's finished or it's done. And I can now go into the next iteration with this new me or this new enlightened in this particular realm of awareness. Like, oh, this ha-ha moment, like a light bulb has gone on. And now I have other tools that I can use now to express my anger in a way that's more in the moment, still taking the pause, but acknowledging the pain.
And strong.
Or acknowledging the hurt and being courageous and being brave. You know, and I think I mentioned this in the episode last week with the love bombing and the gaslighting and the manipulation three-part series we did. If you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend it. And this idea, you know, Brené Brown's one of my favorite people, and she says, you know, don't share your deepest, darkest, most intimate feelings and stories with people who haven't earned your trust completely. And I'm paraphrasing her because I always take people's quotes and see how do I implement them in my daily life. And that's what I feel is one of the biggest things coming up for me with my anger. I've shared intimate, personal things and too soon. And then it gets all muddled in business or professional or personal, and it just gets all muddled when it wasn't even appropriate sometimes for me to be that way or to share certain things. because I can go overboard with feeling the love and the camaraderie and the family nature of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of stuff. A lot of things have been going on with me for this past week, and it's all been good, but it had been very painful.
Well, and I think too, when it comes to feeling anger and acting on it and speaking on it in the moment, there is this interesting people-pleasing dynamic, I think, that you and I both have experienced where, I don't know, we want to be perceived as easy breezy or likable or not difficult. And again, I do think this comes a lot for women with this dynamic of not being too needy or nitpicky or having specific desires or boundaries. Like, I remember even when I was younger in my 20s and thinking about dating, you know, it was that mentality of, oh, guys don't want someone that's too high maintenance. Just be cool, be chill, they'll like you more. And even in theory, like, saying that's not super toxic, but I know for me that taught me again to just cut myself off from what I actually feel in the moment. Because let's say someone said something to me in the moment that was disrespectful, I would never speak back to say, hey, that really hurt my feelings, or I really wish you wouldn't say that, or I wish you wouldn't call me that name, with the intention of being chill and unbothered and easy breezy. And it's just so fascinating to see how that progresses in life of just, it's almost like cutting yourself off from yourself in a sense when you don't let yourself feel angry. And I had another session with a different, this was actually not a healer. Well, I guess she was a healer, but she told me that the same thing, that I didn't let myself ever be angry. And especially from things that happened when I was a kid and all of my life. And she told me that I really, really needed to let myself feel my anger. And one of the practices that she told me to do is to like go just scream somewhere. Like, I guess somewhere that I wouldn't make anyone feel like something was wrong or like alarm anybody. But she's like, let yourself just yell and scream. And I even remember I was on a retreat years and years ago. I can't even remember who it was with, but they had a session where they're like, anyone that feels angry, we're going to go out in the field and like yell and scream and kick rocks and let it out. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't need that. I'm good. And it's kind of funny because I wish I had let myself do that. But in this recent time of this healer telling me to do that, I had so much judgment of like even letting myself yell. Like, I tried to do it in the car once and I'm like, oh my God, is anyone going to hear me? I felt so weird. And it just was fascinating to me that even in this practice of letting it all out and letting myself feel that and being present to that experience, I still was trying to hold myself back and have judgments and embarrassments and all of that. But I will say, I do think that if you're someone that has a lot of pent up anger and resentment and frustration, like let yourself just yell and scream without judgment. I'm still working on it, but I think it's a really valid practice to get it out of your body if you're someone that's internalized a lot of that.
Well, I think that this is incredible, Michelle. This is exactly what Catalina, the somatic healer that we've been talking about, said it means when she says, don't take it in your body, get it out of your body. Because there are many times in life where we can't actually speak to the person who's harmed us, or we can't actually let the people or the person know what they did. Oftentimes, I mean, I remember first being in treatment, you know, for my bulimia back in 40 years ago, and, you know, I was molested by my uncle. And she said, do you want to talk to him or do you want to talk to your family? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. She said, well, these are the steps then that we'll take that will help you release it, not only from your psyche, not only in therapy from your psyche, but also starting to release it from your body. And I remember going on a work with all the other people in treatment with me. And did I say work?
Yeah.
I meant walk.
I remember, what does that mean? Is that like treatment speak?
I remember going out. We used to walk several times a day. And I remember we all went on a walk. And I was constantly kicking this rock the whole walk. And this really nice guy was walking in our whole group. And he said, "You must really be very, very angry." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You've been kicking this rock the entire walk." And yeah. I said, "I'm just kicking a rock. It has nothing to do with whether I'm angry or not." And he said, "Yeah." He said, I think you've got a lot of pent up anger." And in this particular treatment center, they had like a boxing room. Mm. And some of the therapists would take us in to just box, like kind of what you're saying, go in a car and scream or go somewhere and just scream. They were encouraging us and showing us how to get the anger out of the body, mm-hmm. how to let the anger move through the body, because it was so important for that to happen. And you know, I never stepped foot in that room. I never stepped foot in that room because I didn't think that I had anger. It's so Same. Amazing. So what I'd like to do in this moment, Michelle, is just kind of walk you through just a little bit of, you know, there's a quote that St. Augustine said, mm-hmm. "Hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are." Hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and the courage to see that they do not remain as they are. And so I have translated that in my life as, after the anger comes the courage. So when we're feeling the feeling, then we've got to have the courage then to speak up. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in the civil rights or the human rights or the any nonprofit work that we're all doing or that we're trying to help people that are suffering in life. It's really meant for ourselves as well. I always put that into my work, mm-hmm. into all of the human work that you and I do. And now I'm looking at it for myself. After the anger comes the courage. We have to have the courage. And the courage can be this subtle, which is what I'm also recognizing in the past week or so, as just trusting myself. Feelings are not facts. And so we are entitled as humans to have our feelings. We can't stop having our feelings. We can't say, "I'm never going to be angry again." Or we can't say, "Oh, I'm angry. Nope, you're not allowed in this door right now. I'm not even going to feel you. I'm not even going to know." We can't do that. We see that it lives in the body then, and it takes a toll on all of our other relationships, especially the relationship that we have with ourselves. So it could be just the courage to trusting yourself. And I think, you know, that idea of anger, transforming anger into compassion, it has to start with us. Everything that we do in life has to start with the relationship we have with ourselves. So sometimes it's as simple as just speaking your truth to yourself, mm-hmm. or going in the car and screaming at the anger, or writing the letter, or journaling.
Yeah, journaling.
Or any of the ways. Sometimes it's as simple as that. I notice in myself, I wouldn't even give myself the privilege of admitting that I was angry. I turned it into frustration or irritability. And then it turned into, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so frustrated?" Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't even get the name half the time as anger and pain. I think I'm just really noticing that anger sometimes, and more often than not, as Eckhart Tolle said, is actually showing us where we're being harmed or where we're feeling pain and suffering. And so noticing that and spending time and really understanding, "I'm angry right now. What's causing me to be angry? Where's the pain? Mm-hmm. What's happening? What are the feelings underneath the anger? What is the pain underneath the anger?" And as I've looked at that this week, in reflecting back on the last 4 months, I've thought so much pain underneath the anger. And so much of the answer to the pain has been directed at myself and causing myself more pain by saying, "What is the matter with you, Barb? How come you didn't know better what to do? Or how come you didn't know better what to say?
Yeah, why didn't you speak up earlier? Why did you let that happen?
How do you always get into these situations where you're trying to do the right thing and you're feeling like you're a kind, loving, right human being, but you're being inflicted with all this harm, in my view, is what it felt like. I didn't understand. And so just getting at the root of that and understanding that, and that knowing that it is normal to feel anger. It is normal to be angry. It is an unavoidable part of life. And so the more that you can start trusting yourself that your feelings are valid, and now what? now what? Now, can I talk to that person about a boundary that they crossed that really hurt me or that really harmed me? Can I talk to a friend that I trust completely, that I know that I can share anything with them and they won't betray me or they won't abandon me or they won't embarrass me? Can I start to look back at, can I start to look at anger as actually one of the greatest assets that we have in life? And now I'm starting to really even see even deeper how that does have the ability to transform, not necessarily into compassion all the time, but transform us into being the boss, into being the leader, into being the person where we actually have control over our lives. And doing that in the most loving, kind way possible, but being strong and courageous in our actions and being strong and courageous. And I like to think of myself as protecting myself, but not protecting myself from living in life, but protecting myself from being harmed by myself mostly, mm-hmm. from the thoughts and the words that I might say to myself, but protecting myself from allowing anger or resentment or ill will or whatever it is to infiltrate my body and cause illness in some situations.
And or I'm not, to spread anger and to perpetuate
exactly. it. Exactly. And I'm not saying that all illness is caused by anger by any means, but I certainly can see how by not speaking up, by sucking it up for 33 years in a marriage that was so dysfunctional and so harmful, it took a toll on my gut.
Yeah.
It definitely took a toll on my gut. And I'm incredibly grateful that it's something that I can manage and it's something that's not critical. But it certainly took a toll on my gut. It took a toll on my insides of my life.
And I think, too, when we talk about the concept of cycle breaking, which I know we have in the past with family dynamics and not perpetuating toxic dynamics, I think anger goes along with it because it's, you know, that chain of someone yelling at you and then you holding it down and then it coming out sideways with you and you yelling at someone else and you know, all of us impacting, you know, each other in this unhealthy way. And I think being able to allow and feel anger as it comes and not pushing it away is a great way to also kind of break that cycle. Like you and I can stop this pattern that you've experienced and I've experienced of pushing it down and hopefully not perpetuating that in our own personal lives, but, you know, in the people that we come in contact with, that we work with, that we're friends with, even just, you know, strangers on the street. And I often think about this quote that I heard from Hannah Gadsby a few years ago that really impacted me when I think about anger, which is, I have a right to be angry, but not to spread it. And that's so powerful to me because we all have the right to all of our feelings, but again, allowing ourselves to be angry because so many of us think we can't. But just because we've been harmed and disrespected and whatever other actions might actually make us feel angry, that doesn't give us the right to then go inflict that onto somebody else. And so thinking for ourselves of like, how can I process my anger, be present to my anger and experience my anger, but not then spread it. And I just think that that's a really powerful way to think about the feeling. And it's also empowering. Like, we're not out of control with our feelings. Of course, we're not in control of them all the time, but they don't have to run rampant and rule our lives. We can be a active participant with them.
Yes, I love that, Michelle. And in conclusion for me, looking at some of the health things that I'm having, just the idea that how we manage or how we look at the feelings that we have and the emotions that we have and how we act on them has everything to do with our mental and physical mm-hmm. ways that we show up for our lives. And I think it impacts more than anything else. I think it impacts our well-being mentally and physically. And I would just like to share that the biggest takeaway is that I think feelings are not final. Feelings are not permanent. But I also think it's really important what I'm noticing and how I've dealt with anger my entire life as a little girl, that anger isn't just a fleeting feeling. Like we always say that emotion comes and goes, but we have to make sure it goes. I've recognized that I have not dealt with my anger in a way that it actually leaves. Mm-hmm. When I'm bringing up things, you know, that happened 3 months ago or whatever, I can feel it's still there. So that's not, anger isn't necessarily a fleeting feeling. We can think that it's coming and going because we're pushing it down, but is it actually going? So I would like to just close with just, if nothing else, just kind of look at what your relationship to anger is. Mm-hmm. How can I process it, or how can I deal with it, or what is a little teeny tiny small step that I can take in the direction of allowing the anger to move through me and not actually live in my body, so that it's not affecting my mental mm-hmm. and physical well-being. We all can agree that anger does affect our mental and physical well-being in whatever way it happens to be showing up for each and every one of us. So finding that way to take care of yourself through the means of taking care of your anger. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I really take extraordinary care of myself in this moment so that I can be courageous enough to allow this anger to move through me in whatever way that has to happen in that present moment. And probably the last thing that I'll say, maybe, no, we the last know. Thing that I'll say is always remembering that life is a journey. It's never too late to be what you might have been. I truly believe that. I could spend all these years, and now I'm 68 years old this year, and I'm looking forward to the most incredible, magnificent life that I can have now that I understand my relationship with anger, and I'm so exhilarated. But that life is a journey, and that this journey is filled with gradual change. Hmm. And in these gradual changes, every step forward is victory.
Wow.
So even if it's a tiny, tiny, tiny little step, which is what I feel like I'm in right now, just this awareness step has transformed my life.
I love that.
So it's a journey of gradual change where each step forward is victory. I love all you very much. I appreciate. I am so honored for Michelle and I to be here every week and sharing our experiences and loving the fact that we have the privilege of doing this. So
thanks,
thank you.
Mom.
Thank you, Michelle.
Love you. And I was going to say, interestingly enough, I just realized that I had recorded a guided meditation for our Substack listeners or our subscribers for Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life earlier today. And that meditation that I recorded, I think speaks to this concept of being able and being present to your pain and sending yourself self-compassion. So I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to check that out for the Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life Substack. It's wild that I recorded that, not realizing that it was going to be in alignment with what we were talking about today for the show.
I love it. I can't wait to listen.
Just to, you know, recap as well, if this is something that resonated with you, just be open to letting yourself have the feeling of anger and being open to letting yourself feel it, maybe journaling about it and sitting with yourself and processing it, knowing that you're allowed to feel that feeling and that you're not bad or wrong or shameful for having that feeling, and that you deserve to be able to speak and act up for yourself when you feel those feelings.
And that one little small step is victory.
Yes. Love it. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for sharing all of your stories and being so vulnerable as always about this topic. And thank you, friends, for listening. It's always so much fun to have these conversations with you all. And we're so grateful for you all. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so you're always up to date with each new episode and everything going on with Barb Knows Best. If you're loving the show, which we hope that you are, a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leaving a positive review is really helpful for us and for the show. And we're so grateful for all of you who have done that. It means so much to us.
If you have questions, comments, concerns, or podcast topic requests, follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to get in touch. And then lastly, like I said, there's a link in the show notes for our Substacks where you can stay up to date with us, with Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, and all things me and my mom. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, again. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.